TheLifeStream.net presents On the Way to a Smile, Case of Denzel.
Midgar was divided into two very different worlds. An upper city, a steel acropolis high above the ground known as the Plate. Then there were the slums, areas beneath the Plate that never saw daylight. The people who lived there led chaotic but hardy lives. It was thought that this thriving light and shadow, built by a single enterprise known as the Shinra Electric Power Company, would be a sight that endured forever. 4 years ago, when the Lifestream came flowing out of the ground, many residents believed that Midgar would crumble and fall. With only their personal effects in hand, they fled their neighborhoods. And yet, the people were unable to distance themselves from the City of Steel for long. Perhaps they thought they could return to their normal lives of blissful ignorance if they stayed close. Before long, a new town called Edge was built along the avenue stretching east from Midgar. Edge's main avenue started at the border of Midgar's third and fourth sectors. The town then expanded to the north and south from there. From a distance, it seemed a magnificent city, but most of the buildings were actually constructed from Midgar's debris. The streets smelt of iron and rust. Johnny ran a cafe that sat along the main avenue. It was a humble establishment in a patch of open ground, with a stall, some tables, and a few chairs, where he could do some simple cooking. He named the cafe Johnny's Heaven. It was named after Seventh Heaven, a bar that once existed in the slums of Midgar's Sector 7. Johnny had been in love with the barmaid there for a long time. Her name was Tifa. Several months after the bar was lost during Sector 7's collapse, Tifa reopened a new Seventh Heaven in Edge. At the time, Johnny was among the masses who couldn't figure out how to go on, and was moved by the strength of spirit with which Tifa lived. And so, with those thoughts in mind, she became more than just a former object of his unrequited love, but a respected figure in Johnny's heart.
I'm going to live just like Tifa. But how?
I know. I'll run a business too. I'll give hope to those who have lost their way.
That was the start of Johnny's Heaven. Customers who came there were subjected to the tale of Johnny Reborn again and again. As a result of that, many of them visited the new Seventh Heaven, wanting to see Tifa, and wound up becoming her regulars. Unaware of this, Johnny continued to open 6 days a week, waiting for an audience who would listen to his tale of love and hope. Eventually, someone did come. It was a boy. It was pretty rare for a child to come in alone. He was Denzel, a young boy who was special to Johnny. He was part of Tifa's family. Johnny was going to put all his heart into his service for Denzel.
Make yourself at home, Denzel.
Johnny bowed deeply, lowering his head. But Denzel only glimpsed at him for an instant before heading to the farthest table from the stall.
Come closer and sit over here.
No, I'm meeting someone.
He's here to meet someone.
He's dating already? But he's still a kid.
Well, whatever. I'll watch over him. This is all part of my special service.
On a date, huh? Go get her, kiddo.
Coffee, please.
Is he ignoring me? Ah, he must be shy.
Give me a shout if you're stuck. I know how to talk to the ladies. Trust me.
Suddenly, Denzel stood up from his seat.
Is he angry?
Johnny was watching Denzel, but the young boy's gaze was directed at the entrance. A man in a plain suit was standing there.
Welcome!
Johnny greeted the customer, but averted his gaze. He was Reeve, a former Shinra executive. It was the first time Johnny had seen the man, who was now leading the WRO, up close. He had a reputation for bringing death.
What business does a guy like him have in my shop?
Reeve glanced around at his surroundings cautiously as he walked over to Denzel's table and sat down. It seemed a habit of his. Something struck Johnny.
Reeve was inviting Denzel to join the army. I have to stop them somehow. If something like that was to happen in my cafe, then I wouldn't be able to face Tifa again.
With that in mind, his expression remained calm as he glared at Reeve.
A coffee, if you don't mind.
Johnny was shocked at how dignified he seemed.
Yes, right away.
Johnny stood up straight as he answered, then scurried back to the stall.
Not an easy person to deal with.
Denzel was surprised that the head of the WRO himself would come to interview him. He stood there, unable to get as much as a greeting out.
Have a seat.
Reeve's voice snapped him out of it, and he nervously sat down.
Now then, Denzel, I'm short on time, so let's get right to business. I should warn you up front. Our organization has changed. Gone are the days when we welcome just anyone into our ranks. If it's volunteer work you're after, contact your local leaders. The WRO is an army now.
Yes, sir. I'm prepared for the dangers.
I'm sure you are. All right, tell me about yourself, starting with your background.
My background? I'm only 10.
Yes, I know. But even a 10-year-old must have a background.
Denzel was the only son born to Abel, a workaholic employee of Shinra's Division 3, and Chloe, a sociable woman with a knack for housekeeping. The three of them lived in Shinra's employee housing area on the Sector 7 plate. Abel, who was born and raised in a provincial town, was satisfied that he could raise a family in the upper levels of Midgar's Acropolis. However, he believed he always needed goals in life, and his new one was to live in the executive housing area of Sector 5. When Denzel reached the age of 7, Abel was promoted to head of division. That meant he had the right to live in the Sector 5 housing. Hearing the news, both Chloe and Denzel prepared a surprise party. Sumptuous food and childlike decorations welcomed home the man of the house. It was an enjoyable dinner. Denzel listened to his gleeful father tell jokes and talk about his life.
Denzel, you're lucky to be my child. If you were born in the slums, then instead of chicken, you'd be eating rats.
They don't have chicken?
They do. Because everyone is so poor, they can't afford it. Since there's nothing else they can do, they catch rats with spears. Dirty gray rats.
Ew! Sounds disgusting.
What does it taste like,
Well, Denzel?
Denzel grew uneasy, looking back and forth at his parents' faces and his plate. His father looked down, trying not to laugh. Denzel remembered one of his mother's sayings.
There's no meaning to life without smiles.
They're both trying to scare me again. Neither one of you is fooling me, okay?
What mean parents?
They just used to joke. I didn't mind being teased.
I'll tell you this, but as far as I know, rats weren't eaten in the slums. The rats in the slums at the time were...
I know. I know about it well.
Oh? Did something happen?
It's a long story.
The phone rang while Denzel was watching the house. It was Abel.
Where's your mother?
He seemed angry.
She's out shopping.
When she gets back, tell her to call me back right away. Never mind, I'll call her.
He knew his father was troubled and grew anxious. He couldn't settle down, so he turned on the TV and waited for his mother to come home. On the news, they were showing Mako Reactor 1, which had been blown up just days ago by a group calling themselves Avalanche.
Dad's been busy because of this. That's why he was cranky. Not because of me or Mom.
After about an hour, it wasn't his mother who came home. It was Abel.
Where's your mom?
She's not back yet.
Okay, I'm going to look for her.
Abel was out of the house before he even finished the sentence. Panicked, Denzel went after him. They went to the market and found Chloe right away. She was happily talking to the butcher. Abel told Denzel to stay put and walked toward the shop. Without a word, he grabbed his wife's wrist and practically dragged her away. When he heard his mother's protests, Denzel tensed up.
Would you let go of me? What's going on?
They're going to destroy Sector 7. Quick, we need to take shelter in the Sector 5. There's a new company residence for us there.
Destroy it?
The scum that blew up Reactor 1. Will they pick their next target?
Denzel looked at both his parents' faces. There was no sign of them stifling laughter. This was no joke.
Number 7.
He grabbed both his parents' hands.
Come on, let's hurry and go.
But the two didn't budge.
But we can't just... What about the neighbors? Our friends?
There's no time, Chloe. Besides, this is classified. I'm breaking rules here, risking my promotion.
Irritated, Chloe shook her wrist free.
Denzel, go with your father. I'll catch up with you soon, don't worry.
After giving Denzel's hand a firm squeeze, Chloe left and started to run.
Chloe!
Abel ran after his wife, but after a few steps, he came to a halt. Seeing how much his father was suffering, Denzel's heart ached.
He wanted to go after her, but I was holding him back.
Denzel, we need to go.
No, we can't leave Mom here.
Mom will be just fine. You can't blame her for caring.
A tall man was dragging a suitcase along as he walked at the borders of the 6th and 7th sectors. Abel called out to him. When the man realized who was calling out to him, he quickly ran over.
You're still here, sir? The Turks have already deployed. By now they should be nearly done planting the explosives. My buddy is a vehicle prepped. We should...
Not in front of my son.
Sorry, sir.
Denzel knew quite a lot about Shinra, thanks to all he had heard from his father since he was little. The Turks were the ones who did all the dirty work.
What did he mean that the Turks planted the bombs? Are the Turks with Avalanche?
He stared at the ground, wondering what they were talking about. Sensing his father's gaze, he looked up.
Arkham, could you take Denzel over to Sector 5 for me? The housing area, number 38.
Abel never took his eyes off his son.
No!
Do as I say. Go with Mr. Arkham. I'm going to bring back your mom.
We'll go together.
Is it all right with you, Mr. Arkham?
Of course, sir.
Here's the key. I'll leave my son with it.
From the inside pocket of his suit, he took out a key and forced Denzel to close his hand around it.
Dad.
I bought us a new big screen TV. Watch that while you're waiting for us.
After ruffling his son's hair, Abel gave him a gentle push toward Arkham and started running in the direction of Sector 7. Denzel almost lost his balance, but Arkham was there to catch him.
All right, let's get going. I'm Arkham. I work for your dad. It's nice to finally meet you. He never stops talking about...
Denzel squirmed and tried to run off, but Arkham stopped him.
I understand how you feel, but I can't disobey your father's orders. Let's just go to Sector 5, then you can do whatever you want, okay?
The new house, nestled in a row of cookie-cutter homes, was empty, except for a big box holding the TV. Arkham took it out of the box and hooked up the cables. Together, they watched the news. They were still airing the video of Mako Reactor 1 exploding. All Denzel could think about was when Arkham would leave.
I'm hungry.
You got it. I'll go pick something up.
Just then, the entire house shook. A huge explosion could be heard in the distance. As Arkham opened the door, they could hear the screams of twisting metal coming from outside.
Stay here.
Wait, what about...
Just as Denzel was about to follow, there was an announcement on the TV.
We interrupt our regular broadcast for this breaking news. We have unconfirmed reports that Sector 7 has just exploded. Yes, there seems to have been a tremendous explosion.
Footage of an entire town caving in appeared on the TV. It took Denzel a few moments to recognize it as Sector 7, where he and his family had been just hours ago. The scene changed.
This is the current state of Sector 7.
There was nothing there. Sector 7 was gone. Denzel burst out of the house. The streets were in chaos. People were running all over the place, shouting that Sector 5 was next. He ran as fast as he could and didn't stop, even with the chaos around him. He made it to Sector 6, completely out of breath. Soldiers were putting up barriers. Denzel approached, trying to get a look at Sector 7. There was nothing there. It was as though nothing ever had been. He could see Sector 8 in the distance. The joints for the Sector 7 plate were peeking out.
Whoa, kid, you're gonna get hurt! Where do you live?
Denzel pointed into the empty space.
I see. Damn shame, that. Where are your parents?
Again, Denzel pointed into the space where Sector 7 used to be.
Oh.
He stood next to Denzel and placed his hand on his shoulder.
This is Avalanche's doing. Don't you forget it. When you get bigger, you pay them back for what they've done. You have to go. You can't stay here.
The soldier turned Denzel towards Sector 6 and urged him away. He started to walk absent-mindedly. The voices of concerned strangers passed in one ear and out the other.
Which place is going to be next? Dad! Will it be all right here? Mom! I won't forgive those Avalanche scum! What are the Shinra doing? Dad! Mom! Where are you?
The pathetic child's voice was the only one he couldn't tune out. When he realized it belonged to him, he couldn't walk any further. Tears came welling up.
Is it true Shinra did it?
Yes.
Reeve looked away from him. It seemed he was determined not to show any signs of emotion.
Do whatever you like with me, if you despise me for it.
Denzel shook his head. The next day, Denzel awoke to find himself in the new house in Sector 5. Beneath him was a mattress that couldn't have been there the day before, yet there he was, lying on it. Someone had left a note and a pastry by his bedside.
I'm at the office. I'll drop by to check on you once in a while. Also, don't wander off too far. Everyone's riled up just now, so it's pretty dangerous. But more importantly, it would be hard to find you, and you're a pretty important boy. P.S. I borrowed the mattress from the neighbor, so be sure to return it. Arkham.
They aired the footage of Sector 7's collapse on the TV over and over again. Denzel heard Shinra's announcement that Midgar was safe now. His own parents might be dead. They could say it was safe all they wanted, but he wouldn't buy it.
Now that it's so safe, does everyone get to live a happily ever after? Does that include me?
Denzel tried to eat the pastry. Before taking a bite, he noticed that he had inadvertently squashed it and the cream in the middle was oozing out. Anger surged in him. He threw the pastry at the TV and stormed out of the house. It was quiet. He could see the Shinra building towering over the center of Midgar.
Dad might be alive. He might be at the office with Mom. At a time like this, he must be way too busy to get away. There are lots of Shinra houses around here. Maybe someone knows Dad. I hate talking to grown-ups I don't know. But I've got to suck it up and ask.
He went to the house on the right and rang the doorbell. There was no answer. He tried opening the door. It wasn't locked, so he poked his head inside.
Hello?
He waited for a moment, but as before, there was no answer. Arkham had borrowed the mattress from this house, it seemed.
What are we, thieves? Taking stuff without asking? Is that how we have to live now? Stealing and doing whatever else it takes?
The house on the left. The one across the street. The one next to that. They were all empty. Everyone had left. He went to check the houses further down the street. On almost every door, there was a piece of paper which stated that the tenants were taking temporary refuge and where they could be contacted. No one was left. It didn't seem possible that his parents were at the office. If they were, they would have come here. Even if it was impossible for Denzel's father to come, his mother certainly would have. The hope he held on to was shattered as he walked away. Before he knew it, Denzel noticed he had completely lost his way. He couldn't remember how he got there, or even where he came from. Tears flowed down his face. They weren't so much tears of sadness, but more of anger. He stopped and sat down in the street, but jumped when he realized he'd sat down on something sharp. It was a small model of one of Shinra's airships. A child must have dropped it. Denzel picked it up and threw it as hard as he could at the closest house.
Oh, I hate everyone!
The sound of glass breaking echoed through the deserted street, followed by a woman's voice.
Who's there? Who did this?
Before Denzel realized what he had done, an old lady came out of the house in front of him. Maybe she wasn't that old, but to Denzel, everyone over a certain age was old.
You did this?
She was holding the model airship in front of Denzel. He gave an honest nod.
Why would you... Are you crying?
Denzel shook his head in denial, but he couldn't hide his tears.
Where do you live?
He couldn't bring himself to answer her. Tears welled up and wouldn't stop.
Well, why don't you come inside?
The inside of Ruby's home seemed very different to Denzel's. It felt cozy. The wallpaper was printed with lots of flowers. The upholstery had a similar pattern. The actual flowers that decorated the room were artificial. But still, the room had a sense of warmth and tranquility. Denzel took a seat on the sofa and looked at Ruby. She was struggling to patch up the shattered glass window with a plastic bag.
When my son gets home, he'll be able to fix this up right as rain. This should do for now.
I'm sorry, Miss Ruby.
If times weren't how they are, I'd go give your parents an earful.
My mom and dad... they're...
What, you expect me to believe they left you here and just ran off?
They were in Sector 7.
Ruby stopped what she was doing. She sat down on the sofa and held Denzel in her arms. Once he had calmed down, she suggested they go outside. They decided to go look for his house. The two of them walked hand in hand. When Denzel reached the age of 6, he had stopped holding hands with his parents. It made him look uncool. But right now, he never wanted to let go. The Shinra employees among the residents were staying at headquarters, working to resolve the situation. Their families were taking refuge in Junon or Costa del Sol. Ruby remained behind because, as she explained it, if you're going to be alone no matter where you go, then there's no place better than your own home. Eventually, they found Denzel's house.
Thank you very much. And about the glass, I'm sorry.
Ruby nodded silently. As Denzel opened the door, she peered inside the empty house.
What are you planning to do with a house that doesn't have anything? Come to my house, okay?
And so, that was how Denzel came to live with Ruby. When Mako Reactor 1 was destroyed, Ruby knew trouble was on the way, so she bought lots of food. The storage shed in the back garden was full of canned food and non-perishables.
There's no need to worry when you're prepared.
Ruvi was busy every day, cleaning the inside of the house, cleaning the outside of the house, preparing food, her sewing. Denzel helped with everything but the sewing. Before she went to sleep every night, she read a book. Ruvi picked thick, challenging books. When Denzel asked if it was any good, she replied, "Not one bit." They were her sons. For more than 5 years, she had continued to read them, thinking they might help her understand her son's work. She laughed when she realized they were only good for putting her to sleep. Ruvi lent Denzel an encyclopedia of monsters, telling him it would be useful. That too belonged to her son. He had read it when he was around Denzel's age. It contained descriptions and color illustrations of monsters. The same thing was written on every page. If you encounter a monster, run. Then tell an adult.
If I run into a monster right now, am I really supposed to tell Ruvi? She doesn't look like she'd be a very good fighter. Would I have to fight it then? Am I strong enough? Could I win? I'm completely useless. That's why my parents didn't want me to go with them.
The sun had grown stronger, and Denzel was soaked with sweat.
Damn. This heat.
Denzel took out a handkerchief to wipe away the sweat.
What an adorable pattern. Like a little girl's.
Yes, sir.
Denzel smiled, staring at the handkerchief. One morning, when Denzel awoke, Ruvi was there, holding a shirt by the collar.
Denzel, put this on. I made it for you, but this was the only fabric I could find.
On the white shirt was a pattern of little pink flowers. It was something that Denzel would normally flatly refuse to wear, but he put it on, delighted.
Thanks, Miss Ruvi.
Well, I had extra fabric. Here.
She held out a handkerchief with the same pattern. There must have been a lot of extra fabric, judging from the number of handkerchiefs she had made. Denzel took just one and folded it neatly into his pocket.
Denzel.
The smile faded from Ruvi's face.
I don't know how to explain this.
Denzel considered what she might say to him. The words he feared most came to mind. Get out. The very notion made him tremble with anxiety.
Let's go outside.
Ruvi went outside into the backyard. Denzel hesitated, but eventually followed. He walked along the thick bed of soil and stood next to her. She stood glaring at the sky. Denzel looked too. There was a great black spot up there. It was a truly ominous sight. Only blue and white belonged in the daytime sky. Surely any other color spelled gloom and turmoil.
They're calling it meteor. That's about all I know about it. But they're saying that thing is going to crash into the planet and put an end to everything.
Ruvi took two cans out of the shed and handed them to Denzel.
How do you prepare for something like that, for crying out loud?
That day, Ruvi didn't clean, sew, or do anything else. She just sat on the sofa thinking. She did, however, make several phone calls. Whoever it was, they weren't answering. Denzel thought she must have been calling her son. He was having trouble visualizing what Meteor's impact would be like. More importantly, he had a question to ask, but he couldn't find a way to bring it up. As night fell, Ruvi began to clean, as if to announce her return to reality.
Denzel, you're doing it all wrong. Haven't you been watching how I clean?
That was the Ruvi he knew. It was night, and the two of them sat side by side on the sofa, reading their usual books.
Denzel, I intend to wait for the end right here. If the planet is going to be destroyed, one place is as good as another. What will you do? If you plan to go somewhere else, take any food in the house with you. I know you're still just a boy, but I think you should choose where you face the end.
Denzel thought carefully about what Ruvi said. Finally, he asked the question he had been longing to ask all day.
Is it okay if I stay here?
Ruvi looked up from the book at Denzel and smiled. After that, she carried on the way she always had, except she never cleaned outside. The yard work was Denzel's job now. He saw construction had started at the Shinra building. In no time at all, they installed an enormous cannon.
Shinra's gonna get rid of Meteor for us.
That company always finds a way to screw up.
In the end, the cannon fired just one beam at an unseen target before collapsing in a wreck. As if that weren't enough, the Shinra building itself was attacked.
What kind of monster is out there?
He couldn't even begin to imagine a monster that could destroy buildings. Up in the sky hung Meteor, unchanged. All hell may have broken loose elsewhere, but Denzel's days were peaceful. There were times when he couldn't suppress his longing to see his parents and wept aloud, but Ruvi's embrace would always comfort him. If the end was to come while he slept next to her, then he really didn't mind. What robbed Denzel of his peace in the end wasn't Meteor, but an angry torrent of light. The livestream may have been a force for good that effectively destroyed Meteor, but the dense life energy also worked its destruction on people. The chosen day, Denzel and Ruvi were in bed, about to fall asleep. Outside, they heard a fierce wind howling. It was too loud to be just wind. Soon, the entire house began to shake. The end had come. Denzel hoped it would be over quickly, but as more time passed, the worse the tremors grew. The noise grew too. It crescendoed to such a roar, like a train speeding past the house. Denzel held tight onto Ruvi, shutting his eyes, trying to brave it as best he could. But 5 minutes proved to be his limit.
Miss Ruvi, I'm scared.
She sat up, and just as she went to turn on the light, the flower-patterned curtains turned bright white. It was as though the whole house was engulfed in light.
Cover yourself with the blanket!
As Ruvi left the bedroom, the shaking intensified, and the flowers on top of the dresser fell to the floor. Denzel leapt out of the bed and went after Ruvi. She stood, staring at the living room window, the one she had crudely patched up with nothing but a plastic bag. The plastic had swelled up and looked ready to burst at any moment. Ruvi ran to the window and used both hands to hold it in place.
Denzel, get back inside!
Denzel was trembling. He couldn't move, as if his feet were stuck to the ground.
It was me who broke the window. It must be my fault that this is happening.
Ruvi left the window and rushed over to Denzel. He clung to her, even as she forcibly pushed him back into the bedroom. At that moment, the plastic burst and a dazzling wave of light came flooding into the house. Ruvi quickly shut the door.
Denzel, you keep the door shut!
Miss Ruvi!
Denzel cried as he grabbed the doorknob and tried to open the door.
Denzel, stop it!
But...
Denzel tried at the doorknob again. Ruvi stood there, with her back toward the door, feet apart and arms extended, taut across the doorframe.
Keep it closed!
Beyond Ruvi, he saw a stranded wave of light crash into the walls and rebound. It writhed violently inside the room, like a glowing snake running wild.
I didn't think it was a monster from the Monster Encyclopedia. Should I run and tell an adult about it? No. In this house, I'm a stand-in fight. Miss Ruvi!
The light lunged at her as she yelled. A short moan could be heard. The light morphed into what looked like a slender piece of rope, forcing its way into the bedroom through a gap between Ruvi and the wall.
Ruby fell crumpled where she stood as Denzel got thrust back unconscious.
I don't know how long I was lying there. When I came to, the whole house was in shambles. Miss Ruby was lying on the floor. I called her name and she opened her eyes, just a little, and said, "I'm glad you're safe," in a soft voice. Then she asked me to hold her hand, so I held my hand out. She took it, but there was no strength in her at all. She said, "My son's hand is too big. I can't get mine around it anymore." And I thought, good thing I'm a kid. Then she asked me what it looked like outside. I was worried about her, but I went out to look. It was morning. The whole area was just like the inside of the house. In shambles.
Denzel hung his head and continued his tale, while Reeve closed his eyes mournfully and listened. After heading outside, Denzel turned around and looked at Ruby's house. He could see that all of the windows had been blown out. Looking around, he saw that it was the same with all of the other houses in the area. There were houses without roofs, houses with big gaping holes in the walls. Denzel now knew that it would have turned out the same way, whether he broke the window or not. But he got mad at himself for thinking it.
Miss Ruby went through such a horrible ordeal just to protect me, and here I am acting as if I had nothing to do with it.
When he went back inside, it looked like Ruby was sleeping. She had such a peaceful look on her face. Disconcerted, he gave her shoulders a little nudge.
"Miss Ruby, hey."
She showed no sign of waking.
"Miss Ruby?"
This time, he tried shaking her a little harder. A stream of black fluid dribbled from the corner of Ruby's mouth. Seeing it was a sign of death, he hastily wiped it away. The black stuff was oozing from underneath her hair, too. Denzel felt sick. He bolted out of the house, gripped with fear.
"Dad, please. Mom, help me. Mr. Arkham, anybody."
There was nobody left. Nobody to hold his hand and tell him that everything was going to be okay. All he could do was cry.
"Hey, don't cry."
Denzel felt a huge hand ruffling his hair. When he looked up, he saw a great big man with a jet black mustache standing there. Behind him was a small truck with around 10 people sitting in the back.
"What are you doing here? Didn't you hear them say on the TV to take shelter in the slums?"
Denzel felt like he would get scolded if he didn't give a satisfactory answer.
"We didn't watch TV."
"No kidding you didn't. We didn't know. We thought we'd be okay. It's the same story with a whole lot of you."
Everyone on the truck had sheepish looks on their faces.
"So, you got family?"
"Miss Ruby's in the house." The man's name was Gaskin. He helped me bury Miss Ruby in the backyard. The people in the truck helped too. We buried her with her son's books and her sewing kit. Everyone was surprised how deep the soil in the backyard was. They said they usually hit the plate right away.
"Perhaps she'd meant to grow vegetables. A lot of elderly folk from the country do that, you know."
"I think it was flowers."
Denzel looked at the floral pattern on his handkerchief.
"The house was full of flower patterns, and she had lots of fake flowers too. But I think what she wanted was some real ones. She lived in Midgar because her son worked for Shinra. But she just wanted a nice place with soil, where she could plant some flowers and..." "Sorry. I'm rambling, huh?"
Reeve nodded as he listened.
"No."
The truck carrying Denzel and the others eventually stopped at the train station.
The trains aren't running. No prospects of them starting up again either. But lucky for us, the tracks still lead down to the city. We should be able to walk it.
Is Midgar dangerous?
Well, I don't know. But I'll take my chances with good old sod ground.
He turned to Denzel.
Careful you don't slip. Everybody's hit hard right now. You gotta look after yourself.
The truck did a U-turn and left. A large crowd had gathered in the terminal. The white light had affected the whole of Midgar. Those who had lost their homes retreated there, as well as those who thought the whole city might collapse around them. Even so, many of them were hesitant to walk down the tracks to the ground. There were no cheers to be heard that Meteor was gone. Instead, people shouted their grievances with the botched and belated evacuation order. Denzel thought to himself that it was good that his father wasn't here to listen to this. He waded through the crowd to the platform and fell in with the procession down the tracks. He didn't know what was in store below, but seeing that Gaskin was the only one showing the way, doing as he said seemed like the best course of action.
We didn't know what lay ahead, but the only person leading was Gaskin. It was obvious that we had no other choice but to follow him.
Between rails and cross ties, laid atop iron struts, Denzel could see the ground far below. They were far enough up that falling meant certain death, so he made his descent cautiously. The railway spiraled down around Midgar's perimeter, and it was sickeningly long. But with his mind focused on keeping his footing, he never had to think about it. Suddenly, they seemed to have come to a dead end. Adels had come to a halt. It was like being in a traffic jam. When he made his way to the front of the crowd, there was a boy of about 3 sitting precariously between the rails with his legs out in front of him.
If he was the cause of our delay, then I thought we could have just gone around him.
Where's your mama?
Suddenly, the boy started crying and yelling.
Mama.
He tried to peer down below. He lost his balance and looked like he was about to fall, so Denzel darted forward and grabbed his arm.
Hey, that kid, he's marked.
Don't touch him. You'll catch him.
Denzel had no idea what they were saying.
Hey, clear the road!
Denzel looked up like he wanted to object to whoever said that, but he didn't see who it was. With no other choice, he put his hands on the boy's waist and dragged him onto the iron plate where it was safer.
I was wondering why no one helped, but I soon realized the reason why. The boy's back was soaked in a black substance.
The path was now clear, so people started to walk again. The boy kept crying.
Mama, it hurts.
Denzel remembered someone saying, "You'll catch it." He wanted to cry. He was furious at the boy, but he immediately remembered Ruby, how he had felt ill when the same black fluid came out of her, even though she had been so kind to him, how he got scared and ran off. His heart was filled with guilt.
That was why I planned to wipe that sin away by helping the boy. I wanted Ruby to forgive me.
Denzel knelt down next to him.
Where's it hurt?
Back there.
Your back hurts?
Yeah.
He carefully placed his hand on the boy's back.
When I had a sore tummy, Mom would rub it for me, and the pain would go away. She did the same if I bumped into things. I might be able to use some of Mom's magic too.
Denzel did his best to ignore the sticky black substance and started to rub. Although it was painful at first, the boy soon fell asleep. For 3 hours, maybe even longer, he continued to rub, taking breaks now and then. People ignored Denzel and the boy as they descended the tracks.
He's dead, you know.
Looking up, he saw the tired face of a woman. She had a baby fastened around her chest, and a girl about Denzel's age was holding her hand.
That shirt looks like a girl's. It's so weird, isn't it, Mama?
Without uttering a word, the woman helped her daughter out of her blue jacket and held it out to Denzel.
Put this over him.
The little girl was relieved. She had been bundled up in three layers of clothes and was soaked with sweat.
You can have it. It belongs to my big sister. That's why it's so big.
Denzel looked at the boy, curled up asleep next to him. It didn't sound like he was breathing. Denzel was completely out of strength. The little girl took the jacket from her mother and wrapped it around the boy. His body was now completely hidden from view.
He's with my big sister now.
Thank you.
Just saying that took all the energy he had. The mother started walking again, and the little girl followed her. She slid her hand into her mother's. Both their hands were dyed jet black. Gazing at the chocobo on the bag the little girl was carrying, Denzel thought to himself,
were they all going to die crying in pain with that black stuff flowing out? Was everyone going to die because they're ill?
Back then, we didn't know a thing about the stigma. People exposed to the life stream oozed ichor from their bodies and died. Some said it spread through skin contact. Actually, it was remnants of Genova mixed in the life stream. Well, even if people knew, it would have made no difference.
Right. Especially to a kid.
Yeah.
Up there on the tracks, I thought, I wish I was grown up. Even if it meant just one less time I spend thinking about something I could never understand.
Denzel absentmindedly watched the people who fled to the station in the slums. One by one, they descended from the upper levels. And still they kept walking as if they believed stopping would be their end. While he knew he should do the same, he couldn't abandon the hope he might run into a familiar face if he stayed put. All that drove Denzel while he was in that limbo was unbearable hunger. Walking around the outside of the terminal looking for food, he saw a pile of goods stacked up a short distance away. Further on, he saw several men working away at something. It seemed they were digging a hole. The smell of decay hung in the air. A man came over carrying a young woman on his shoulders and gently lowered her into the hole. It was a makeshift grave. As Denzel made a hasty exit, he spotted a familiar backpack among the pile of goods. It had a picture of a chocobo on it. He was somehow compelled to pick up the bag and open it. Inside were some cookies and chocolate. Denzel thought about the little girl who owned it.
She's gone now.
Eat.
It was Gaskin. Denzel had a vague feeling he had been wanting to run into him all along.
Worried you'll catch the sickness? That's nothing but a rumor. I suppose it could actually be true, but right now, just heresy. Besides, you don't eat, you die. If you're gonna die, wouldn't you rather do it on a full stomach?
That said, he reached into the backpack, snagged a cookie, and ate it.
Still good. They'll only rot if you leave them there. Eat up before they go to waste.
Denzel ate a cookie. The sweetness was comforting. He looked down at the bag.
Thanks.
Gaskin gave Denzel's hair a good ruffle.
He was a different type of person compared to Dad. The way he ruffled my hair was the same.
For the next year or so, Denzel was living at that very spot. His first job was to find food among the goods. He made friends right away. They were all children who had lost their parents. Gaskin kept making friends too. Shit for brains who aren't happy unless they're using their muscles, as Gaskin put it. Of course, he was affectionately referring to the group that first started burying the bodies. Sometimes Denzel caught himself smiling. He felt he could be his old self again. However, about 2 weeks in, the number of refugees from Midgard dwindled, and no more people died at the terminal. Their role there was just about finished. Denzel spent many sleepless nights worrying about the future. A lone man was out walking, as though he were searching for something. Eventually he approached Denzel and his friends and spoke to them.
"I'd like some iron pipes. The more the merrier."
Denzel and his friends went to look for iron pipes. They managed to find lots of them in the debris of Sector 7. The man said his thanks and left. Since then, he came back many times. After the third visit, he brought friends with him who were also searching for things. A new town had started to develop on the east side of Midgar. It turned out they were looking for materials to use there. The kids agreed to find what they were looking for in exchange for food. Denzel and his friends soon took to calling themselves the Sector 7 Scavengers, or Triple S for short. There was plenty of work for them. They were proud of themselves for working and living like adults. And it was fun. There were nights when they cried and thought about their parents, but they always comforted each other. They were all in the same boat. But destiny had not tied Denzel and the others as tightly as they thought. One morning, Gaskin gathered the adults and the kids from the Triple S and suggested they move to the new town and pitch in with the efforts there. Just when they all seemed to reach an agreement, one of the children noticed something. He had seen Gaskin rubbing his chest now and then during his speech.
"Mr. Gaskin, are you feeling sick?"
"Just a bit."
When he undid the buttons of his shirt, he saw that he was soaked in black liquid.
"Gaskin died a month later. We made sure to bury him in a special place. The good people always die, huh?"
Reeve nodded silently to Denzel's words. Denzel put the coffee to his lips. He really hated the bitter taste, but he wanted to be able to enjoy it someday, like the adults did. All of the adults had moved on now, but about 20 of the kids stayed behind as the Triple S. They knew about the new town, known as Edge, and that it was growing in leaps and bounds. They also knew that there was a facility there for orphans, but they were helping with the building efforts right where they were, and got by without relying on adults. They saw no reason for them to leave. They also thought about how bad it would look to be called orphaned, and needed to be protected. Still, their pride couldn't stop the new town progressing. Soon, work was re-centered around large machinery brought in from various places. In the time it took Denzel and his friends to carry one short girder, a giant crane could lift an entire house and carry it off. And so, even the proud members of the Triple S started to leave, one by one. Before long, only 6 members remained, including Denzel. All of them were starving. Eventually, even the last girl left announced she was going to Edge. Reeve looked at him with a puzzled expression.
"What's wrong?"
"I hated that girl. The guy said a girl would just slow us down and stuff. But they all wanted to be in a group with her. Once there were less than 10 people, she was a pain in the butt to work with." "But I realize now. All that meant was that I'd gotten to the point where I could, I don't know, worry and get mad about normal stuff again.
You should be grateful to her.
She's not around anymore.
When Denzel woke up, he learned that all that remained of the Triple S was him and another boy called Rix.
What can two people scavenge? Screws and light bulbs?
Think of the killing we'll make!
I'll go buy us some breakfast and look for jobs.
Hey, wait a sec!
Rix went over to where they hid their cash box and opened it.
Hey, Denzel! We're in trouble!
The change that remained in the box couldn't have bought them a slice of bread. The two of them sat silently for a while. Rix was the first to open his mouth.
We'll just have to live in Edge now. Get food for free.
So that's it?
Yep, that's it.
Suddenly, Denzel recalled something his father had said.
Wanna catch some rats to eat?
Rats?
Yeah. I hear that everybody in the slums is too poor to eat anything but rats. My dad said so. Filthy, gray rats. This is the slums, and we're pretty poor.
You serious?
Yeah. I'm gonna eat a rat. I'm gonna be a real kid from the slums.
Rix slowly got up and clapped the dust from his clothes. Denzel stood up too, looking around.
We need a spear.
Oh yeah? Do it yourself!
Huh?
I've been a kid from the slums since the day I was born!
Denzel realized his mistake and tried to smooth things over.
I didn't know.
So what? You would have refused to be friends with me if you did?
Of course not.
Whatever. You're just like all the snotty plate kids.
Rix.
Just so you know, thanks to the contaminated water you punks dumped on us, the rats here are full of nasty germs. Find one person who's gonna eat that.
Saying that, Rix left Denzel behind.
I didn't go after him. I didn't think he'd forgive me.
Why not?
Because he was right. I was a stuck-up kid from the plate. I was used to the terminal and all the debris in Sector 7, but I wouldn't be caught dead going to the other slums. I think that's why I didn't go to Edge either, because I thought of it as a slum. Poor and dirty.
And Rix?
He's doing okay, but he still won't talk to me.
Well, I'm glad you still have a chance to make up.
Denzel sharpened the steel rods he had gathered, and using them as spears, he went hunting for rats.
I was ready to catch one of those rats and eat it. I had no money, no job. The slums would have been a step up. A Sector 7 kid like me could never be anybody in that world. But a rat full of nasty germs would solve that problem.
Loneliness had stolen Denzel's will to live. His situation was no worse than when Sector 7 disappeared, but what made it worse was his presumption that nothing awaited him greater than his parents, Arkham, Ruvi, Gaskin, the Triple S, and all of the other encounters that sustained him so far. He felt he would never smile again.
There's no meaning to life without smiles. Isn't that right, Mom? A rat full of nasty germs should help me solve that problem.
Hey, now hold on a sec there!
Without them noticing, Johnny was standing close by, listening to Denzel's words.
I'm just saying what I thought at the time, but I was wrong. That's why I'm still around.
Well, yeah, but...
Because you had the most fortunate encounter of your life.
Mm-hmm. Just when things were looking the worst.
There were no rats to be found. He wandered around searching aimlessly, eventually arriving at the Sector 5 slums. He found a church there that was starting to fall apart. A motorcycle had been parked in front of it. It was like nothing he had seen before. But what really caught his attention was the mobile phone that hung from the handle. A smile crossed Denzel's face. He figured it would be okay to borrow it just for a second. He wondered if he would be able to get through to anyone. Approaching the bike, he took the phone in his hand. As he dialed his home number, He imagined the phone ringing in the middle of the Sector 7 rubble.
All Sector 7 lines are currently out of service.
Denzel had looked for his parents while working with the Triple S. He never found them. He no longer clung on to hope they were somewhere out there, alive.
All Sector 7 lines are currently out of service.
With the phone still to his ear, he looked up. He could see the bottom of the Sector 5 plate. He realized that on top of it was Ruby's resting place.
All Sector 7 lines are currently out of service.
As he hung up, he thought about smashing it against the ground, but decided against it. He wanted to dial Ruby's number, but he never learned it in the first place. Denzel checked the phone's incoming calls. He decided to ring the first number on the list. It rang. Someone picked up immediately.
Cloud, what a surprise. You never call. Is something wrong?
Denzel listened to the woman's voice silently.
Cloud?
No, I'm not.
Who then? That's Cloud's phone, right?
I don't know. I don't know what I should do.
Hey, are you crying? What's wrong? Are you all right? Cloud? Are you there? Cloud!
He thought he felt tears flowing down his face. When he closed his eyes and went to wipe them, a surge of pain shot through his forehead. The pain caused his whole body to seize, and he dropped the phone. He crouched there as the pain overwhelmed him. He felt a sticky fluid as he held his forehead. Denzel realized he really didn't want to die, but the pain wouldn't go away. All he could do was pray silently.
Don't let it be black. Don't let it be black.
He fought the throbbing pain and opened his eyes. His hands were jet black.
I don't remember anything after that. When I woke up, I was in a bed. Tifa and Marlene were looking at me. The rest you already know, right?
Sort of.
I owe my being alive to so many different people. My parents, Miss Ruby, Arkham, Gaskin, my friends from the Triple S, the living, the dead, Tifa, Cloud, Marlene, and of course... I want to be like that for someone. It's my turn to do the protecting.
Reeve was silent.
Please, sir, let me join.
No, no, no!
Would you shut up?
You're still just a kid!
That doesn't matter.
Actually, the WRO no longer enlists children.
You see?
Then why didn't you just tell me in the first place?
Well, you see, I just decided, while listening to your story. Children have something only children can do. I want you to do that.
What is it?
Bring out the strength in us adults.
Denzel waited for him to continue, but Reeve stood up, as if to say their talk was over.
Oh, one other thing.
Denzel looked at Reeve expectantly. He took a handkerchief out of his pocket and waved it about. It had a pattern with lots of little flowers.
Thank you for taking care of my mother.
Johnny had started to clean up after Reeve left. Denzel looked down at his own handkerchief, which he had set on the table.
You know, kid, if you want to fight, you can do it any time you want. You don't need to be in the WRO. Why is that so important to you?
Cloud.
What about him?
He's strong because he used to be in the army way back. I want to be strong like that, too.
Times have changed, you know?
How?
Well, let's see. Say, instead of some guy who swings around a sword, it's a guy who always knows how to take away the pain. Which do you think would be more popular?
It's not like I want to be popular, though.
Denzel remembered all of the hair ruffling and kind words encouraging him. Men and women, adults and children, he would carry them all in his heart for the rest of his life.